Okay. So we're going to be working through a series of learning to journey using Reiki. So tonight we're going to be journeying for ourselves, and at some point we'll be journeying for others so that you can get more comfortable. By journeying, I mean it's a method of research. It's actually a method of gaining information. So the first thing to understand is how that works for you and your style of intuition. Each of us in this room could have a completely different style of intuition and a completely different style of receiving information. Often what happens for people, particularly in these settings, is you hear other people and how it works for them, and you think, well, it should work that way for me too. With intuition, in addition, there are a lot of languaging issues around it that also creates a particular belief in how it's supposed to work. So we've really gone from Yasui Sensei practiced Reiki in a very intuitive style. His practice was about developing intuition through Byozen scanning. And his entire practice, where he placed his hands, everything was based on an intuitive spiritual approach. He also was approaching Reiki as a method of happiness, a method of achieving happiness, or Anshin Ditsume, which is the state of perfect peace. Then Reiki moved into more of a healing modality with Dr. Hayashi because he was teaching Reiki to physicians. And he needed a more standardized approach. So he used Reiki with hand positions in particular ways that were standardized. And he created the Hayashi Healing Guide. And so if a person presented with things like rabies are in there, it would have the hand positions that you would use to treat that particular ailment. And he created a manual so that he could pass that on to other Reiki practitioners who were also working in the Japanese Navy as physicians using Reiki as their method of healing. Then Reiki moved in through Mrs. Takada, and Mrs. Takada realized that most Westerners were not going to be able to understand the intuition from Yasui Sensei, and they weren't going to understand the anatomy that was presented by Dr. Hayashi. So she created the hand positions, and that just meant that if you do all these hand positions, then that'll deliver Reiki, and you don't have to have intuition, and you don't have to have medical knowledge in order to use this. So then it evolved, and we moved back into the year 2000 when the new history of Reiki was revealed, and we found out that Yasui Sensei actually practiced a very intuitive style of Reiki. It kind of brought intuition back into it. But if we go to Mrs. Takada in the 1950s, the word intuition was kind of one of those funny words that people used about, oh, women, they have that women's intuition. Yeah, those of us at this age remember that, you know, it was kind of a snicker type of a thing that you'd do, like, you know, tee-hee. And so intuition really has been invalidated. And also currently, it is often considered that certain types of people, more creative, artistic, right-brained people, are more intuitive. But what we really know is a mathematician, an engineer, an analyst, all these kind of left-brain aspects or thinkers also have intuition. They're also tapping into that field of possibilities that is typically accessed really through the imagination. So Einstein even talks about how imagination is the first most important thing to have because everything starts there. So what I've discovered in teaching these methods for all these years is that we talk about intuition from the perspective of, can you feel it? Did you see that? Did you hear it? And so people who operate with a different style of intuition than that often negate their style. So part of what we want you to learn here is, what is your particular style of intuition? How does it work for you? Rather than comparing it to anybody else, how does it actually work for you? So some of you may see visions, like I see visions. I had to train myself as to what they meant. Just because I could see them didn't mean I had any idea what it meant. They were all metaphorical. They're still metaphorical. I've just learned how to interpret the metaphor that they're showing me. Some people smell their intuition. Some people hear their intuition. Some people think their intuition. And that's the one that catches so many people, is when you think it, often the term that people say to me is, well, I'm not sure if I made it up. Most common statement in learning about intuition and in learning how to practice in these ways. So you'll probably hear yourself think that often enough, like, did I just make that up? First of all, if you were making things up, it'd be far more fantastical. And often you can't make it make up the way you want it to do it. Like, you can try to make it do what it's doing and it's going to take you somewhere else. You may think, I'm going to follow all these instructions and the journey takes you somewhere completely different than my voice is guiding you. So you are here now to discover your style of intuition. How does that work for you? Like, some people, when they're doing Beozen scanning, you know how you learn how to do scanning over a body with Reiki, and you're feeling for where the energy needs to go, and you're feeling for your hands and the sensations. Many people never have sensations in their hands with it. They might just be going along and they think, oh, wow, here's a spot. But it's not a physical sensation, it's a thought. So starting to learn how you process your own intuition is part of what we're doing here tonight. And this is, again, going to be something we will be working with through the entire 7 months, to also utilize specifically the Reiki tools to help you do that. So, and in this group, we have all different levels of Reiki training. So I'll be talking about some of the symbols and not talking about the others by name, just out of tradition. And sometimes they'll come out and I'm not worried about that. But we have a variety of levels of Reiki attunements in here. And none of that matters, because Reiki is going to come in and assist you in guiding you to your intuition, because it is very specifically interested in helping you discover your inner guidance, your inner authority at all levels. The big system of Reiki, lots of lineages out there, lots of styles of training, all of that is very engaged. And how do we access our inner authority and our inner guidance aligned with divine guidance, aligned with higher consciousness, aligned with divine solutions? And then those divine solutions, how do you bring them into practical solutions? How do you apply them? Reiki has been just almost like continually repeating over and over and over again that our divine self is embodied. Often we think we're going to go somewhere else to find our divine self. It's in our body. It's not anywhere else. It's right here. And the divine perspective is all around us. it's easy to access, but those veils get in the way. Those layers, those ways and worries of the world get in the way, and they hide it from us. So we're going to start with our intuition, and Robin's going to actually guide us through a little exercise that may help you start to understand your style of intuition. Then we're going to actually do a Reiki journey. Now, we've also called this in Holy Fire experiences, but we're going to add some differences. And those of you in my classes, I may have presented these styles to you already. And that is by using Honcha Zeishonin, the distance symbol, as a bridge of light to the spiritual location that you are going to journey to. So today what we're going to do is we're actually going to go over this bridge of light. We're going to call in Honcha Zeishonin. We're going to call in Chokurei and Seheki and all the other symbols any of you are already attuned or ignited to. And you're going to cross over that bridge of light, and we're going to go into the spiritual location that we call the third heaven. Now, if you've taken Holy Fire Reiki, then you've experienced some of third heaven already through the experiences where we've gone to the ocean of holy love, we've gone to the river of life, but there are many more places than that that exist. And so we're going to take you over the bridge and let you go wander around. While you're wandering around in that journey, you're going to be asking the question, what is my next step? That's your intention for the journey. What's my next step? And then Robin's going to explain to you a tool of writing that down. It's a style of automatic writing. We'll be doing a lot of automatic writing in this course because it's such a quick, easy, effective way of capturing the information that comes in. Tonight, we're going to use a method called intention mapping. And we actually came up with that. I think Robin came up with that. We coined the term intention mapping in this particular style of how are you going to discover your intention? Because a lot of times that's the hard part. Mm-hmm. Like, what is my intention? So we're going to be doing that through the journey. What's my intention? What's my next step? And then we're going to be doing this style of intention mapping that Robin's going to explain to you. And let me see if there's anything. Okay, so we're going to be working with, in the journey, we're going to be working with the symbols also. So just to recap those symbols quickly, Honcha Zeishonin is a bridge of light. And I have been using that bridge of light for my spiritual journeying for years. I was originally trained to drum or to rattle or to go down maybe a tree root or to climb stairs to get where I'm going. Now I use this bridge of light, and it's Honcha Zeishonin. Well, Honcha Zeishonin is an enlightened energy, and so it is going to take you into enlightened realms. And what we mean by enlightened is there is no fear in that realm. If we're working with two energies, love or fear, fear actually does not exist in that third heaven realm. So Honcha Zeishonin is going to take you into that realm where all there is love. And that's where you're going to receive your answers from. We're going to be, before we go on the journey, we're going to do this exercise to get you started thinking about how you're going to receive information in that journey. So I want to clarify right now a couple of things. If I use the word see or feel or did you hear that or any of those terms, they're very broad terms. So did you see it might mean did you think it? did you feel it might mean that not that it's a sensation, you just have some knowingness of it. So try not to be narrowed by the languaging, because it's just, there's too many words to have to say to make sure I explain it all in a journey. And so what I'll be doing is I'm going to guide you across the bridge. I'm going to take you over unto the third heaven, and then you'll have the time to spend there, and you'll be in your own silence. Then when we come back, we're going to do the intention mapping that Robin's going to explain. Okay, so everybody with me yet?
Third heaven is a little bit.
Oh, good idea. Yeah. So the third heaven in this context, and this is just this context so we can communicate in this style. So the idea is that we live on the first heaven. And here in the first heaven, we have everything from fear to love. We have higher consciousness, lower consciousness. We have egos. And we have some of the people that live here are highly concerned about the wellness of the planet. And then we have everything opposing, you know, the other side opposing that, and everything in between. On the second heaven, that's a spiritual realm, much like the first heaven, that you have every kind of ego, every kind of love and fear still exists there. You have the beings that are highly evolved, very concerned about the wellness of the planet, and then you have the beings that are not highly evolved and opposing forces and everything in between. In the third heaven, all there is love. Fear doesn't exist. It's a completely enlightened realm. Any of the beings that you would encounter there, the spiritual beings, it's a spiritual realm. Any of the beings that you would encounter there are coming from an enlightened perspective. The information that you're going to receive from that realm is an authentic realm. And one of the main criterias with it is in the third heaven that reality is always and every time engaged in our free will. The first and second heaven is not necessarily always engaged in our free will. And what that means is in the third heaven, those energies will never impose themselves on any of us. They will never do anything that can cause harm. And they would never override what we want with what they determine we should have. It is only loving and only supportive. In the second heaven, you may have the beings that exist there, like some of the bodhisattvas that have agreed to be in those realms to try to heal those realms, and they're highly evolved and have no intention of violating our free will. But then you have others that exist there that, you know, they determine that they know better than you, then they might just think, well, I'm going to fix that for you or do whatever for you. So that's just a quick overview. And the same thing, you guys are going to discover for yourself and your own inner authority what all of this means. When I first started journeying over in the third heaven, you know, it had one kind of viewpoint for me. And now that I've been doing it for such a length of time, it goes into this really tremendous expanded reality. It goes up into really higher level forms of consciousness. In fact, what it really has been doing is taking me outside of form, outside of belief, outside of gender, outside of anything with form, and going strictly into that love consciousness. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and do that journey. Robin's going to take you through the red rubber ball exercise. Some of you have done that before, I'm sure, and been exposed to it before, but it is a good one. And then she's going to explain the intention mapping, and then we'll actually go into the journey. Okay?
So the first thing I wanted to add about the journeying too is that, you know, some of us are new at this. And so one thing that I found pretty helpful in the beginning of kind of training my, it's almost a muscle, you know, or you have to kind of train your muscle is,
now I'm all intimidated, I'm being recorded, is counting, quite like meditation or actually in shamanism, counting, if you find yourself having a hard time kind of getting there, you can always count up. So I would count to 10, you know, those of us that meditate, you're kind of familiar with, you usually count down and at one, you're there, you're in that place. So counting up kind of would help me go up into the third heaven. So, you may not even need to use that, but I just wanted to give it as a little tip that was helpful for me when I was learning how to build my muscles around this. So that's that. So intention mapping. Basically, intention mapping, it, like she said, is a style of automatic writing. And it's going to look like this. So this is a little hard to see. So I'm going to put it on this.
Go get the big one.
Oh, yeah. We do have a big one. Well, I was going to draw one, too. And we have, you can do these in your journals if you want. Or if you want to use a bigger piece and some Sharpies and things like that, feel free to do that. So as soon as we come out of the journey, we are going to head right into this. We're not going to share or anything like that. You're just going to head right into intention mapping. And some of you are probably familiar with this as mind mapping. This is from a divine realm. So your answers are going to be coming from a divine realm. It's automatic writing. So let's just say, like on this one, I have next step. We did journeys and intention mapping for the curriculum and the coursework for this and what we wanted to see come from the course. So in the center, I would have, you know, next step, Reiki. Well, then from there, I had all sorts of different things from it. So I had the spiritual side. What are we going to gain as a class from the spiritual side? What tools do we want to learn? Then we had the practical things that we needed to make sure that we covered. We had the business aspect of it. We had, so you can see here, and it's a sloppy mess. So when you're going through it, don't have any judgment around it. Just allow it to flow how you want. You don't, there's no parameters. Let go of any parameters and just let it come out how it needs to come out. And so what we're going to do in the center, she said, we're journeying for our intention is to find what our next step is. And so that can be even just next step, and you can have a lot of different bubbles, or you might come up with something very specific, and that's in your center. So you want to get unstuck. Maybe that's in your center, and here's all the different ways that I can become unstuck. And in the different bubbles on the outside, so this is the spiritual. You'll have different bubbles from that, and from that you might have different bubbles from that. So you can have a lot. You sometimes might have to squeeze one in. Some of them might connect to each other. So same as with an automatic writing, don't have any parameters on yourself. Just let it flow. So like I said, you can do it in the journal, or if you feel like you need more room or want to do it in color, we've got Sharpies in these pieces of paper here too.
It goes pretty fast. You'll be amazed, like it just writes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we actually really, when we originally did it on bigger pieces of paper, but we actually really, it kind of enjoyed having it in our journal because then it's all kind of in one spot and we can reflect on it too. But either way, like I said, don't evaluate it. If you want to use the big pieces, go for it.
Okay. You want to go through red rubber
red rubber ball. Yeah. And this is just going to be quick, so that we can have more time in the journey. Okay, so go ahead and close your eyes. Take some deep breaths. And imagine a red rubber ball in your hands. And see the ball. What color of red is it? And you're going to bounce the ball against the wall. What sound does it make? And as it bounces back to you, you're going to catch it in your hands. You're going to feel the ball. How does it feel? What's the texture of it? And now you take the ball and you put it up to your nose. Take a big breath in and you smell the ball. What does it smell like? Now you're going to taste the ball. What does it taste like? How does that texture feel? And now open your eyes. And that's the red rubber ball exercise.
How many of you actually saw the ball? If you visually could see it. How many of you could smell the ball? How about tasting it? Stick your tongue on it? You didn't do it. Stick my tongue on it.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
Kids on my bus, I know what they do to those. How many of you just kind of knew the ball was there, but you weren't, yeah, so it wasn't visual, but you could understand that the ball was there. It was an inner knowing. And how many of you didn't have any experience with the ball? Okay, so that gives you some insight into how your intuition works for you. Can help you understand that, like in your case, if you're not seeing it or tasting it or hearing it, but you had a knowingness of it, that that's likely to be your style of intuition. So everybody kind of have some ideas from that?
And some of us had multiple ways, and so they can work in conjunction with each other. They can also, one time it can be one way and another time it can be another way. And also the thought, you know, I definitely, my intuition manifests a lot through thought. So don't discount that.
Intellectual intuition is what I call that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you have intellectual intuition, you actually question it because it's coming through thoughts. But it often comes through thoughts. And you get to where you can discern which ones are yours and which ones are coming from a higher consciousness. Okay, everybody ready to do the journey? So go ahead and get comfortable.